Let's begin with a word of prayer. Okay? Father, we want to thank you for the fact that when two or more gather in your name, you meet with us. And I'm so grateful that Jerry can be with us today and share what you have done in his life so far. We know that the journey is not over. There is more adventure ahead. But I pray, Lord God, that you'd please guide our conversation so that it honors you and so that people clearly hear your power, your grace, your mercy, and your love. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Folks, my guest is Jerry Moses. He is a neighbor of ours here in Ware's Valley, Tennessee. And he is a friend. And he is a brother in Christ. And I'm so thankful that he's agreed to come and share with us some of his testimony of how Jesus Christ has changed his life. Jerry, if you would start by just sharing a little bit of your background before you knew Christ.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Cynthiana, Kentucky, very small. The sign on the highway said 5,000. I think it was an over-exaggeration. But very small town, just a small industrial town, and grew up in a, my father was an alcoholic, and my earliest memories of family life was just, I would get off the bus, and as I approached the house, I wondered, what's it going to be today?
Mm-hmm.
My father he could have been a wonderful dad. He mm-hmm. had all the makings of greatness, but alcohol mixed with anything
mm-hmm.
is a bad recipe. And I just remember thinking, what will today have? Will he be a mean drunk or a nice drunk?
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of ran the gamut of mm-hmm. what will today bring. And you're talking 5, 6, 7 years old, as time went on, he began to he drank more and more. And of course, you well know, the father sets the tone.
Yes.
For the family.
Mm-hmm.
We hear a lot about mothers, and my mother sure was a saint.
Mm-hmm.
But the father does so much.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he knows it or not,
mm-hmm.
He sets the tone for the home and for the mm-hmm. family. And the tone was never—I never really had direction
mm-hmm.
From him. But as time went on, his drinking got worse, and he began to become violent with us and with my mom. And he had an incident when I was around 10.
Mm-hmm.
Where he beat my mother up very bad, and he was arrested and taken off, and I didn't see my father for probably at least a year
mm-hmm.
after he was taken away,
mm-hmm.
And we had to rearrange our lives. We moved to public housing,
mm-hmm.
and so new neighborhood and on the other side of town, and I just began a life without any guidance, any direction,
mm-hmm.
and it's a recipe for disaster, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
And I began almost immediately to experiment with alcohol and marijuana from about 10. I know by 11,
mm-hmm.
I was using
mm-hmm.
Marijuana and you know, beer and things like mm-hmm. that, whatever I could sneak away
mm-hmm.
from. Some of the neighborhood kids, mom and dad, they mm-hmm. they partook in the same thing. So
mm-hmm.
we'd get our hands on those, and it just progressively got worse.
Mm-hmm.
And by, I was selling drugs by 15.
Selling drugs by age 15?
Yes. Cocaine.
Mm.
Marijuana, I graduated, and to the people who say that marijuana is not a gateway drug,
mm-hmm.
you're dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
You're kidding yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely is.
Mm-hmm.
And I can speak more about the marijuana because it was actually very difficult for me to stop marijuana
mm-hmm.
because it was easily to explain away. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you can say, hey, I got off meth.
Mm-hmm.
I got off cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
But pot is always, you know, the media has always downplayed
mm-hmm.
the effects of marijuana
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
But 16, 17, all of those teen years, I was a drug dealer and user, mm-hmm. heavy user.
Mm-hmm.
And at 22, I was indicted for drug trafficking in a Schedule II narcotic, cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got to listen to the audio where the person I sold to had on a wire,
mm-hmm.
and I threatened him with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
It was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's hard to deny it when they've got it on tape, isn't it?
Well, and I certainly didn't have the Johnny Cochran type of funds.
Yes.
To say, no, that really wasn't him. That was a ventriloquist. Or, the long and short of that was I did plead guilty to drug trafficking, which carried a 5 to 10 year sentence.
Mm-hmm.
The prosecutor agreed to just give me 5,
mm-hmm.
how generous he was, if I would plead guilty to it, which I did. And
mm-hmm.
Just a few months later, it was actually just my 30th anniversary just passed.
Yeah.
On July 6th of 1990, I started a 5-year sentence
mm-hmm.
in state prison
mm-hmm.
for drug trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never no priors, so I got out. You serve 20% of that sentence,
mm-hmm.
And if it's a nonviolent offense, you can be paroled, which
mm-hmm.
I was,
mm-hmm.
and I went right back to drugs.
I want you to say that again. This is after you've served time.
Oh yes, after I served my sentence, I still had 3.5 years. On parole that I had to, and it's pretty stringent in the first 6 months.
Yeah, and if you stay clean, you don't have to go back.
That's right.
But you didn't stay clean.
I did not stay clean.
Why?
Well, I had a heart problem.
Exactly. Exactly.
In
terms of what makes sense, it would make sense to say, wow, I've learned my lesson. I'm never doing that again. But that's not what happens, is it?
Yeah, no.
And this is not unique to you.
Absolutely.
I've heard this story more times than I can count because it's the same pattern. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he can't do it without our cooperation.
That's right. Oh, and I was more than willing to cooperate.
Yeah.
Because, as I say, the identity,
mm-hmm.
the lack of identity,
mm-hmm.
the anger,
yes.
was all still there. And, of course, prison doesn't do much to tame you.
Yeah.
In fact, you see and sometimes even participate in things that you almost step back and say, I can't believe this is a society. I can't believe these are human beings who are carrying on this
mm-hmm.
way. But after 6 months of being there, it's norm.
Yep.
It's the norm. You don't question it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a lot of fun with the new guys who come in. And
yeah.
You can see that same look of terror in their eyes, and it's just the funniest thing to you.
Mm.
Because it's amazing what you can get used to.
Yeah. So you went right back.
So I slowly, I was really good the first week. Especially when I had to go meet with my parole officer. She was a woman. She was really great. The advantage that I had was I always had a good work ethic,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to get a job very quickly,
mm-hmm.
and which is one of the, it's contingent on you being able to have a home,
right.
being able to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And, I had the home placement, I had the job placement, and, when I went to meet with her, there was a room full of degenerates like myself who didn't have jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to stand out in that way, and she really didn't give me a lot of grief
mm-hmm.
Because I kept a job.
Yeah.
So I had a leg up on most of the other guys,
mm-hmm.
and she didn't. I wasn't tested, but maybe twice,
mm-hmm.
and I was just able to pull the wool. Frankly, just to pull the wool over her eyes, I was
mm-hmm.
polite and
mm-hmm.
I was a good boy when I needed to be, when it served me.
Yes.
Not because that's what God wanted, it's because of what I wanted at that particular
mm-hmm.
moment.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so soon you were back into the drug scene.
Back in, but the difference this time was I had to pay for my drugs,
mm-hmm.
which I did not like at all.
Mm-hmm.
And my habit was far worse the second time
mm-hmm.
because when you sell, obviously, It's a you get to do your drugs for free.
Yes.
You substitute the profit for
mm-hmm.
use.
Mm-hmm.
The second time around, I was really scared of being a two-time
mm-hmm.
loser with regard to the selling part. So
mm-hmm.
I was, for the most part,
mm-hmm.
able to stay away from the selling part.
Mm-hmm.
But my usage was just through the roof,
mm-hmm.
just through the roof. And I mean, LSD, which mm-hmm. I don't know how familiar, it's made from rat poison.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hallucinogen,
mm-hmm.
and I've used LSD over 200 times.
Mm.
I mean, that's an easy call.
Mm-hmm.
Cocaine and you name it. Some of the things that are out there on the streets today are,
mm-hmm.
you know, they are a little new, but all the pills, methamphetamine,
mm-hmm.
we call it crank.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things that they do now, I've done all of that stuff
mm-hmm.
numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
I've smoked it and I've shot it. I've done it every way you can ingest it. I've said many times that had Jesus came in a pill
mm-hmm.
or a bottle, I would have been saved many, many years ago because I would have certainly tried it.
Yeah. So you were willing to try whatever you could get your hands on.
Absolutely. But it never took away what I was trying to get rid of. And that
please
was,
say that again, because that's,
yes,
again,
yes.
People need to understand. When a person is self-medicating, it's because they've got pain. There's a longing inside us that is never fulfilled until we come to know Jesus. And so until we come to know Jesus, that longing drives people to all kinds of destructive things because they're trying to fill that void. They're trying to make that pain go away. And you had tremendous pain.
Yes.
And you were trying to medicate it.
Yes.
But none of these medicines really make it go away.
No. There's, you know, I think that every jot and every tittle is there.
Amen.
By design. And Jesus said, he didn't say, man, I'm a great way. I'm probably the best way.
Yeah.
He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
And I'm so glad that he said it in a way that even I could understand.
Yes.
Because we see it today. There is a void.
Mm-hmm.
There's a void that sin causes in every person. Now,
yes.
It's easy for me to diagnose it now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've got the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
that He can pinpoint it for
you. Yes.
And that's why you see so many that are so heavily politically active. You can mm-hmm. use drugs. You
mm-hmm.
can try it with drugs. You can try it with alcohol. You can try it with promiscuity. Sorry.
Promiscuity.
Right.
Yep.
All of the
mm-hmm.
above, I tried.
Mm-hmm.
They all failed.
Mm-hmm.
And the heavily politically active. That's
mm-hmm.
exactly what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a substitute religion
mm-hmm.
for Christ.
Well, for many people, sports is that.
Sports.
I mean, Tennessee is an area where people
so
are going.
Kentucky.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
So
I mean, sports idolatry is a huge problem, and it affects many in the church. Pornography is another one.
Absolutely.
That many people try and
substitute. Absolutely.
And that affects many in the church.
And you don't know. And speaking to that, I was exposed to, I had an older neighbor friend. I was exposed to pornography at, I'm talking six.
Mm-hmm.
He was several years older than me, and his father. His father mm-hmm. had Playboy magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I was hooked
mm-hmm.
from the beginning.
But nothing satisfies.
No.
It can excite, it can give pleasure temporarily, but nothing satisfies.
No, it's just like a beautiful. We could say let's cook out. We get two of the most beautiful sumptuous steaks.
Mm-hmm.
But let those beautiful steaks stay out unattended
mm-hmm.
for the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
There, it seems always progressive.
Yes,
it always brings rot.
Yes,
and let's come back tomorrow. After
mm-hmm.
those steaks have set out and You will understand. And in a week, mm-hmm. the last thing you're going to want to think is, let's eat,
mm-hmm.
when you take a look at those steaks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened to them? The progression
mm-hmm. of decay.
And that's what same thing happened with me. I didn't start out smoking two packs of cigarettes a day.
Mm-hmm.
I started out sneaking one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the devil. It's the only thing he needs.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just willing to just step up to the edge
mm-hmm.
of sin.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to, you don't have to do a gainer off of,
mm-hmm.
head first. Just step up to the edge and
mm-hmm.
he'll take care of the rest.
Yeah.
He always does.
So how did you hear about Jesus?
Well, I was raised in a Methodist church. It was one of those situations where my mother took us to church,
mm-hmm.
but we were drugged to church because, again...
That was your mother introduced you to a different kind of drug.
Yes.
She drugged you to church.
Yes, absolutely.
I know grammatically it's dragged, but I'm, right. for the sake of my pun,
right.
please.
Drug sounds yes. much harsher.
Yes.
So, but it was one of those things is, it's Sunday morning, let's go, we got to go to church.
Yeah.
And there was no, with all due respect to the Methodist faith,
mm-hmm.
this particular church was as dead and dry as possible.
Mm-hmm.
They had the same sentiment that I did, it seemed, from the pastor down.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, I'm almost done, it's 12.
Mm-hmm.
Let's beat the Baptist to the, restaurants. Right. children are very insightful.
Yeah.
I mean, they're super smart, especially
yeah.
today.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a street savvy, and I just realized this is what a waste of time.
Yeah.
And of course, another thing that was going on was a spiritual battle in our house.
Mm-hmm.
My father was just, when we would come in from church, it was World War III.
Mm.
And again, spiritual battles are real battles.
Yes.
They are real battles. And so we, with dealing with that, but my mother, she did stay faithful.
Mm-hmm.
We sang the songs, and one of the things that I see that go on today is, Jesus loves me, this I know.
Mm-hmm.
We sang those cute little songs, we love those songs, but we go into a secular school at 6,
mm-hmm.
Or kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And we're taught and things start to skew another way. You
mm-hmm.
you are deprived of
mm-hmm.
that, and
mm-hmm.
you get vacation Bible school, and you get a weekly dose. But the other 5 days, or really the other 6, you are bombarded
mm-hmm.
with the world,
mm-hmm.
the flesh, and the devil.
Yes.
And I noticed in my own life that by the time I was a teenager, I didn't have any of these spiritual arguments.
Mm-hmm.
I had no argument.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I surrendered
yeah.
with the white flag.
Yep.
Because if there's a God, why didn't he do something for my father? Why?
Mm-hmm.
And those questions they're emotional questions. They
yeah.
do have answers.
Yes.
Now I understand they have answers. They didn't then.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no one that told me anything
mm-hmm.
about why am I so angry?
Mm-hmm.
And, why is... If you hear about God, you hear about Christ, you hear about that, but there wasn't a devotion to telling people that, look, he cares and he wants a personal relationship with you.
Yes.
He just didn't want to, say hello on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be there day in and day out.
Amen.
And those are the things that I just was not taught. And as I say, by my teen years, I was out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by 11 and 12 and all this other thing,
mm-hmm.
Things that were going on in my personal life,
mm-hmm.
coupled with a dead faith,
mm-hmm.
there was just no defense.
Yeah.
I had no defense.
Yeah.
So
then somebody came along and tells you?
Well, I had heard about Christ and I
mm-hmm.
had heard this, just skip the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there was a man named Jesus. He went to the cross
mm-hmm.
for your sins. But I never heard a clear presentation.
Mm-hmm.
I was never confronted.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the best word.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be confronted,
mm-hmm.
Much like a cancer diagnosis.
Yeah.
Now, if you, God forbid, were thought that you had cancer, and you went to an oncologist, and he said, you know, Pastor, your hair looks terrific. You look fabulous. Looks like you've lost a few pounds. Okay, that's great, Doc. But let's talk about these test results.
Yes.
If he just wanted to put on a good face for you, I mean, you're going to say, I got to fire this guy.
Right.
My life is on the line, and your life is on the line.
Amen.
With regard to where you're going to spend eternity. So, I knew the story of Jesus, but I didn't know the man.
Amen.
I didn't know the Savior, and I didn't know there was any. I thought there was far more required of me. Mm-hmm. And I'd like so many, I can't live that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it just kind of stayed in the background for mm-hmm. for all of these years. But just to fast forward to 34. Mm-hmm. I was 34.
Mm-hmm.
I had been out of, you know, the whole jail thing had been gone 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I had been a drug addict for all of those years, plus mm-hmm. all of my teens. So mm-hmm. I think in total 23 years, I didn't even take off while I was locked up, because you can get
drugs in jail, can't you?
Yes. And so I just resolved that my mother had died in 1999 of a massive heart attack.
Mm.
And God set it up in such a wonderful way, because I had lived with a woman who I wasn't married to. Now, that's mm-hmm. adultery
mm-hmm.
as far as the Bible's concerned.
Yeah.
Another truth mm-hmm. that I didn't really want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But her and I got into some kind of spat over something silly, I'm sure. And I said, I'm going to Mom's for the night. We'll talk about this tomorrow. I hadn't lived in the house for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And that very night, after my father went to work on the third shift, my mother was sitting in our kitchen. She just fell over in the floor and died.
Mm.
And she had never smoked in her life. She never drank in her life.
Mm.
She didn't have any symptoms leading up to this mm-hmm. happening. And I happened to be on the phone with this girl, arguing, no doubt. And I heard her in the very next room hit the floor, and mm-hmm. I ran to her mm-hmm. and said, Mom, I rolled her over. And as she rolled over, she just let out this, and my girlfriend at the time, who was a nurse, said, mm-hmm. was that her? And I said, yes. And she said, call 911 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, needless to say, she passed.
Mm-hmm.
And over the next 2 years, I just took a nosedive.
Yeah.
I thought I was on drugs before,
mm-hmm.
but I really had made it a point to try to, let's go ahead and finish this off.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are happy. Some people are not.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are born with everything. You know, I mm-hmm. had the typical mm-hmm. mindset that the world wants to give you. That
mm-hmm.
If someone has a nicer car, a nicer wife,
mm-hmm.
they got it through crooked means,
mm-hmm.
and that's you've just been dealt a bad hand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in 2001, late 2001, it was December 18th.
Mm-hmm.
I could actually look out our kitchen window, which it overlooked the city cemetery, and I could see my mother's headstone.
Mm.
So I used to like to go over there and speak with her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, I know now that the spirit is not there.
Right.
But it comforted me to know her body is right here. And I know mm-hmm. a lot of people do that.
Yep.
And I'm not against it. But I used to go and tell her all of my problems, which took a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But on this particular day, December 18th, I took my father's pistol.
Mm.
And I went over there with the intent of taking my own life,
mm-hmm.
to be quite honest. And on the way, I had a friend who had taken his own life
mm-hmm.
on the way to hers. And I stopped and talked with him for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And as I made my way to her grave, I began to curse God.
Mm-hmm.
I began to just empty out everything. I unloaded. Boy, mm-hmm. I really let him have it. I'm sure he was really frightened. But I was over there for a couple of hours.
Mm.
If somebody had saw me, they would have mm-hmm. thrown a net over me.
Mm.
But then I began to weep. And I began to hear voices, so to speak, of from the past, saying, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." And no man come. And I could hear these. I could hear verses that I had learned as a child. That just He ever liveth. And he can say it's Hebrews 7:24. I don't want to rip it all up. He ever liveth to maketh intercession for you. And he can save you to the uttermost. And
yes.
Boy, that's exactly what I needed.
Yes.
So I prayed what would be considered the sinner's prayer, I suppose. I just said, I really played let's make a deal. And that was, I'm on drugs. And I can't get off. I cannot escape this grip. And if you're real, and if it's not too late, because I always had this thing in my mind that if there is a finish line, or if there is a point of no return, it's way back there.
Yeah.
It's way back there for me. If it's not too late, if you get me off these drugs, I will try to live like a human being again and try to do something with my life. And I dried my tears. I put my gun away. I went back to my dad. I was staying with my dad at the time. And I didn't say anything, but I grabbed a notebook and I wouldn't have remembered the date had I not written it down. But I said, December 18th, 2001, I have accepted Christ as my Savior. And I even wrote, I don't know what this means. I don't know what happens from here. But, hey, if it doesn't work, I can always come back next week. Pastor, the weekend came. I think this was on like a Tuesday or Wednesday. The weekend came. My friends called. Let's get high. We're raring to go. And for the first time in, I know, 2 decades, I said I wasn't feeling well. I didn't say, "Oh, I'm changed, man." I just avoided the conversation. Just said I didn't feel well. I got through that weekend, and I remember waking up on Monday morning. I hadn't smoked any pot. I hadn't taken any drugs. I didn't drink any beer. No illicit drugs or alcohol of any kind. And I was so proud of, I mean, I went 3 days. This is day number 3. And within a couple of months, I was completely sober. I just began to, I did have a couple of relapses to where I remember, talk about a spiritual battle. I can remember having a Bible here, a plate of cocaine here. I would, and people say this, boy, it's really scary. But God knows. He can see around the corner. He knows what you'll be doing next week. And he's saying, watch what I do with this kid. And I would literally snort a line of cocaine, read a verse. I had a couple of instances like that, but within 2 months, 3 months, for sure, by that summer of 2002, I was sober and praying for a wife.
Praise God.
And I met Diva on September the 14th of 2002. We married 5 weeks later. 5 weeks. I met her September 14th. I married her October 25th. And we're celebrating 18 years.
Praise God.
In October.
Praise God.
And one more thing about, so because of all the drug use, and you'll learn about, you know, you'll hear the full story with Diva. She was born addicted to heroin. And for 9 years of our marriage, we didn't try to prevent a pregnancy or anything like that. We never got pregnant. We never had a hint of a pregnancy. Until we went to a Right to Life meeting in 2011. I apologize. 2011. I think that's January the 20th, the Roe v. Wade anniversary. And we stayed a couple of days. And I'm not a big marcher. I'm not a big protester. We really went for a little mini vacation, and we believed in the cause.
Yep.
And we conceived our daughter.
Praise God.
At that little getaway.
Yeah.
And Eden came, and then 3 years later, Tabitha came.
Praise God.
Absolutely.
Praise God. And they are precious girls.
Thank you.
Jerry, I think a lot of people, you know, can hear a story like yours, and they say, that's amazing. It's really remarkable. But my particular addiction, I've asked God to take it away, and I still feel overwhelming temptation. And I've given in to temptation. You mentioned you gave in to temptation a couple of times after you'd asked the Lord to save you. But God doesn't do the same thing for everybody when it comes to temptation, desire, etc. He knows what each of us needs. And God knew in your situation, what you needed was a radical change, not just in your behavior, but in your desires.
Yes.
And God has really changed your desires, hasn't he?
Oh, yes. And one caveat to the story was I did have a pastor who was my older sister was going through a divorce, and he began to talk with me.
Mm-hmm.
Just hit and miss. I kind of kept him in arm's length.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one wants to be, you know, I can tell you your faults. How long do you have? You know, and but we don't judge ourselves the way with the same scale that we judge others.
Right.
We're very lenient when it's time to look in the mirror. And of course, that was my problem then. But his name's Mike Hayes. He's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And, Pastor Hayes was just what I needed because I thought that Christianity was a sign of weakness. The young men that I knew were Christians, I didn't want to hang out with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
They were too square, far too square. And, I mean, what's going to happen if we get in a fight? And I don't think these guys are going to fight, you know. And so my all of my focus was on the world.
Yep.
And just superficial things that were so idiotic when I look back now.
Mm-hmm.
But I began to talk with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I accepted Christ, but I still look with lust.
Mm-hmm.
And he only would chuckle.
Mm-hmm.
And he would say, Jerry, of course you still... He said, look, here's what he told me. And I actually heard the great Adrian Rogers say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
God, when you get born again,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't fix you to where you can't sin. He mm-hmm. fixes you where you cannot sin and enjoy it.
Amen.
and I've carried that with me, trust me.
Yeah.
For a long time. But finally, I had his personal number, and this is before cell phones and
mm-hmm.
all that. And I would call him at home, and I would have these, what I thought were very deep discussions. And I thought, man, I've really got him this time. a lot of my Bible reading was from a very cynical, skeptical point of view. If anybody can get this and can figure it out and can blow the lid off this whole Jesus scam, it's me. Talk about arrogance. So, the things that I would find and then dealing with my own personal demons.
Mm-hmm.
I thought several times I had him.
Mm-hmm.
I've got you this time.
Mm-hmm.
But finally I told him, I just don't know about this eternal security.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still lustful.
Mm-hmm.
That's never changed. And finally, here's what he said to me. He said, Jerry, you're going to, he said, I love our discussions. And he said it very, he said it with a lot of cynicism. But he said, I love our discussions, but you're going to have to decide. You're either going to trust God's word or you're going to trust Jerry's word.
Mm-hmm.
Which is it going to be? But he said, this is going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the moment. I should have written that date down
mm-hmm.
because that's when I really began to just put the baggage down.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so liberating.
Praise God.
To realize that it really is that simple.
Yeah. If you take him at his word, you will find over and over and over every time his word is true.
Absolutely.
His word is always true. He always keeps his promises. His love for you is perfect. And he will never let you go.
And it's supernatural.
Absolutely. It's not based on us.
No. And it's not my yes is yes and my no is no. It's for the Bible, the deeper you go,
mm-hmm.
the more you will be rewarded. And
amen.
I have the 1 Peter 3, and I think verse 15, always be ready
mm-hmm.
with an answer. I took that so literally.
Yeah.
And I began to delve into the Scripture. I always have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that God gave me was the ability, first from a skeptical point of view,
mm-hmm.
but secondly, to have an answer to the person, to the young me.
Yes.
Who says, come on, don't try that racket with me. I'm too smart. You know, the
mm-hmm.
same things that I used to think.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you study about the history of the Bible, the
mm-hmm.
the authors, the prophecies, the things that Daniel said,
mm-hmm.
hundreds, if not thousands of years in advance of them happening, you finally have to realize there's something about this book that's different than any other book you
amen.
Ever pick up.
Amen. We have a friend from mainland China, and when he finally began reading the Bible, he got a few chapters in, and he said, no man could write this.
Mm-mm.
He knew that there is a God,
yes.
and that this is revelation.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's God revealing himself through his word, and ultimately, all of it coming to a climax in Jesus Christ. Jerry, thank you so much for coming and sharing
welcome.
What God's done in your
You're
life.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure.
You were a convicted felon, and you are now a pardoned felon.
Absolutely.
And not just by the governor of Kentucky, you are pardoned by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He
twice
paid,
pardoned.
Twice pardoned. Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you,
Amen.
Brother. I look
You're
forward
welcome.
To visiting with Diva and letting her share her amazing story.
Oh,
of
yeah.
God's grace as well.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
You too.